you're lucky, when you walk in at the right time, there's loads left over, they stop.
Morning. Hello. Good morning, church. This is going to be really hard to stop you talking now that you're all round tables and engaged. This is kind of exciting for me to see. Welcome. Today we're going to do things a little bit differently, which you have already gathered because you've walked in and the chairs aren't quite where you normally find them. I'm hoping that this is going to be a good thing. And I know that when we do things a little bit differently, it can be a bit weird to start with. And then afterwards, people come and say, you know what, that was really good. I like doing things differently because it takes us out of our kind of normal kind of routine of doing things. And sometimes we hear or seek God in different ways and we meet with different people in different ways. So hopefully that's what we're going to do this morning. I would like to welcome Penny Marsh. Penny. And Penny has come to us from Gravesend. And she is a Baptist pioneer evangelist over there working with the Ebbsfleet development. She was here last year, I think, giving a bit of an update. And she'll be leading us today as well as me and giving us a bit of an update of what's going on over by Blue Water and that new Ebbsfleet development, all the new homes that are going in there and how Penny and her team are getting engaged and working in that area, which is really exciting. And that's what we're doing this morning. Cafe church today, so we're going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to be singing some songs as normal. We're going to be engaging in some discussion together in groups. We're going to be worshipping, praying. We're going to take communion later on together. But before that, should we just slow down from the mornings? I don't know what kind of mornings you've had. I've had, I can't remember now, too many young boys, 10-year-old boys having a birthday party and staying over last night. So I think I woke up at 5:30. But that's all fun. It's all good. It was Noah's birthday. That's right, Joshua. But it was good fun. It was good fun. But I don't know what days you've had. You might have had bad mornings. You might have had good mornings. You might have had bad weeks, good weeks. Who knows what's gone on? But we can find out. We can talk to each other. But as we just come to God now, let's just quieten ourselves and just seek God's presence in this place. So just quiet your hearts and just listen. I was just reading this psalm this morning, and it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak it out." Father, this morning as we come to this time together as a church and we build each other up and we're encouraged and we want to praise you, we just pray that we would know your presence. Father, that we would remember what you've done for us. And Father, through that, we would want to speak out and tell others about what you've done for us. Father, that's our prayer this morning. Father, would you meet us in this place? Would your Holy Spirit be here? Would you speak through the worship and everything else and speak to our hearts and our minds, Father, that we would know you more as we leave this place? We pray that in your name. Amen. Just a few notices before we stand and worship. On this week, on I better get this right now. Wednesday night, it's the church meeting here at 8 o'clock. Phil is away now for a couple of weeks, and we're encouraging him to switch his phone off and his emails and get away from everything for a couple of weeks. So don't email him. If you need something, come to one of the Rod or I or someone else. And so I'm going to be chairing that meeting. Rod is going to be there helping me. But it's really important that you're there, because we've got a whole load of really important issues that we need to talk through. So Wednesday night, there's no home group, church meeting here. That would be great. Anything else on that, Rod? No, is that okay? Next week, we're doing church differently again. This is all while Phil's away. We're sort of taking the opportunity to do things differently. Next week, we are meeting on the green. So we're going to be church outside of our building. And we're going to the green. And the service will be there at 10:30 to 11:30, as usual. And we will be over the Ivy Mill Lane side of the green. Okay, where some of you know where we set up for the school thing. So it's just near the playground, that side. You can't miss us, because there'll be a big marquee, there'll be big banners saying Godston Baptist Church, and there'll be people, hopefully. It's going to be an exciting time together. The things that you need to remember are, could you, if you want to, bring a chair with you, a camp chair, if you want to sit down, or a rug if you want to be on the floor. If you can't manage that, then let one of the leadership team know, and we'll make sure that we bring one. And if you can manage and you know of someone who can't, then maybe you could bring an extra chair for them. Okay, does that make sense? So you need a chair. The other thing is, if you'd like to just stay on afterwards and have a picnic together, then you need to bring a picnic for yourself, or maybe a friend. I don't know, you can make an extra sandwich for someone else as well if you want. But next week, you need to bring a chair and a picnic if you want to stay afterwards. It'd be a really good time together. And we've got a whole load of stuff happening in that. Come and see me if you want to know more details. Otherwise, just look forward to it, because it's going to be a good time of being church outside on the green. Rod.
Yeah, just two other important notices. First of all, we're continuing with our gift support for Ben. Envelopes are by the door, so if you haven't already had one and want one, do pick one of the envelopes up and drop it into the offering, or take it home, fill it up, and then bring it back. If you know someone who isn't here this week and may not even be next week, if you let them know, they can send it direct to Malcolm and it'll go through the system then. So it's an opportunity. The other thing is to remind us that on the 29th of August, something's happening. A fete. Good, two people know there's a fete happening. Okay, excellent. The Godston Fete, and we're part of that, and we're also going to make a real big impact this year. And we're coming together really well. There's a lot of people have volunteered to help and do it. There's a few gaps. And people who are prepared to serve cups of tea and cake, cream teas, and just smile at people and hand them to them, we're a bit low on that. We've got lots of other people. If you could give an hour, or a little bit more, or a little bit less, do have a chat with Adrienne, because we really need to get that team up. But otherwise, it's coming together well, so... Great, it's
going to
be a great church event. Thank you.
Cool. Any other notices?
Ben?
Yeah, Roger.
So can I very quickly mention the charity cricket match this afternoon for young epilepsy? There's stalls, all sorts of goings on, and even a little cricket in the 2020 stuff, all exciting.
Down on the green.
It's really nice to have a big village event where the sun's actually shining.
Oh, there you go. So if you like cricket and you, yeah, head down to the green, is it? At the green. Half past one. There you go. Good event. There you go. So down at the green, go and play cricket or watch cricket. Okay, let's stand together, and we're going to join Joe and the band, and we're going to sing a couple of songs together. So if you can find a place to stand, let's worship together.
We are Jesus, we welcome you here today. Thank you that we can come and praise your name together and sing of your goodness, your love, and the fact that you are light, you are peace, you are true, you are God. And we come running to you, Lord. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign. You are good, you are good, when there's nothing good in me. You are love, you are love, on display for all to see. You are light, you are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, you are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, you are true, even in my wandering. You are joy, you are joy, when the reason that I sing. Thank you, Lord. You are Jesus. You are God. You are Saviour. You are love. You are light, hope and peace. Thank you for who you are and what your name means to us. Amen.
take your seats. It's really good to be with you this morning. So thank you for letting me take part in what I guess is a different type of service. I normally worship at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and if we did this to the folk at Emmanuel, they'd also be thinking, oh, this is different. So we are going to be thinking about how we can reach out with the good news of Jesus to the people around us. And I hope that this morning will actually be an encouraging thing, because sometimes I know some people are like, yes, evangelism, and the rest of us are thinking, oh, don't make me feel guilty about that again. So hopefully this morning we'll have a good time together. And to start off with, we want to think about who are the people that we already know who aren't yet Christians. So you should have an activity sheet on your table. This is something everyone can do, whatever age you are. And there's three things to write down on a big sheet of paper that should be on your table. We want you to think about the people you know who are not yet Christians. Then think about where you meet these people. So you might want to do a circle of the people you know, a circle on your sheet of where you meet people. And then maybe pick the name of somebody you'd like to pray for regularly who isn't yet a Christian. And when you've thought of one friend, you can then use your pipe cleaners and create a person. Do you know how to do that? Shall I show you? Do it quick. This is like generation game demonstration. This is you. Some people will be far more creative than me. We take one pipe cleaner and about halfway just twist it. That creates head and arms. And then you can slot that through the middle. About halfway again. Whoops, just broke Nick's neck. You didn't notice that, did you? And then twist again and you can create a body and legs. But you can be far more creative with your people. But that's simple, okay? So answer the questions. You've got 5 minutes in total for this, and then I'll draw you together at the end. And then make a pipe cleaner person, which during our next few songs of worship, we're going to put onto the prayer tree. And as you do, it's really between you and God, but think of the name of the one person that doesn't know Christ yet that you would like to pray for. So is that okay? Any questions? Well, there you go. 5 minutes. Okay. And I have plenty more pipe cleaners if you've used yours already. You probably need some more.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the
creative people being made around the tables. What I'd like to do is lead us in prayer for those people, not the pipe cleaner people, but the people that we've had in mind as we've made those people. And then if some of the young people would like to help me, we'll collect them up, and as Joe leads us in some more worship, we'll go and put them up on the prayer tree. We'll hang them by the hand or the feet. So, but let me pray and lead us in some prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the friends and people you've put around us. And we want to pray for those that don't yet know you, and particularly for that person you've put in our minds as we've made that pipe cleaner person. Lord, we want to pray that you will help them to discover your love, and that you will help us to share you with them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we'll continue, Joe, thank you. And again, if some of the young people would help me by collecting up some of these pipe cleaner people and meet me over by the prayer tree, we'll hang them up. Thank you.
Father, we thank you that your name is so glorious. Father, that you are everything we need. We want to thank you for just being our God, for all that you've done for us. And we just praise your name, in your name. Amen. Please have a seat. The young people are going to go out to their classes now. So should we just say a prayer for you guys? Yeah? Father God, we want to thank you for our young people in our church. We pray that you would be with them as they go out. Would you speak through the leaders? Would you just make them understand and know more about you? And they're just witness your presence this morning. And we pray for the leaders as well, that you just bless them in all their time that they give up and all their preparation. In your name. Amen. Okay. Go on then, Joshy. Over to Penny, who is going to give us an update. But just before that, we're going to, if you'd quite like a coffee, we're going to serve you some coffee. If there's somebody that could perhaps, I know we don't normally do coffee in the middle of the service, do we? Today we are. If there's maybe just a couple of people who could go and give Anthony and Adrienne a hand to just pass some coffees out, that would be fantastic. And we will get some coffee around to the tables, and then Penny's going to give you an update.
While we're drinking our coffees together, I thought I'd carry on and just give you the update on the work that I'm involved in. So don't worry if the coffee's still being served as we go on, but there's some pictures on the screen you might just want to turn if you want to have a little look. I don't know if you were here when I came and visited a little while ago, but I work for the South East Baptist Association on your behalf, looking at how we do mission in a big development area by Bluewater, basically between Dartford and Gravesend. And it's been designated to be a new garden city, the Ebbsfleet Garden City. Again, you might have seen it in the media. And their plans are to have 15,000 new homes, plus lots of jobs and businesses developed across the area. There's an aerial photograph. In the top corner, the bit of land sticking out is Swanscombe Peninsula, and they are at the moment looking at plans to make that a world-class theme park, sponsored by Paramount. So something the likes of Euro Disney, but apparently even bigger. So, and here's some of the projects we've got going. So the shaded area is the development area for the Garden City, but as you can see, there's lots of homes in between and older communities, and we're working in both. So we've had three projects going. We've got one in Northfleet North, which is in the older part, an existing community. We've been doing Cafe Church at Bluewater, and then we are doing something in the brand new housing development. So here's just a quick overview. In Northfleet North, we have a lady called Dawn, who's top right corner, with much longer hair now, actually, it's an old photograph. But Dawn is, she's just qualified as a minister last year, and she's now working part-time in Northfleet. And she's working on different ways of engaging with people who really wouldn't have any interest in coming to church. So she has a church service in her flat once a fortnight, and they do all sorts of interactive worship. So this is still probably quite traditional for them. As you can see there, they're worshipping using letters. She has a church for children that meets fortnightly, alternating with the adults. She had to do that because actually the children were so badly behaved, it was impossible to do both together. But now she's worked really hard with those children. And last week she took her number to a Christian conference called Spree, or camp. And she said the kids she took 8 of them, were outstanding in their behaviour. She was really proud of them. So, but most of these have no church background and they're really hungry to learn about the gospel. And so far, she's seen 2 adults and 3 young people become Christians. She's got another couple of teenagers going to Soul Survivor this year as well. So that's really encouraging, but she's exploring doing church in different ways. And talking of church in different ways, for nearly seven years, we've been meeting in Costa Coffee in Bluewater once a month. And we've done all sorts of different things, again, in a very public place, but looking at how we can engage people in talks from a spiritual perspective. So last week, we actually had our last event last week, and we looked at fear, living fearlessly in a scary world. So we've done all sorts of things during our time there. And you can see just a picture of some of our young people talking with some there. But the main thing now we're focusing on is the new Epsuit Garden City Homes, and that's the different areas. We're looking at the moment at the red area in the main part of the valley. There's a master plan, don't worry about it too much, but it means 6,500 new homes in one particular space, and then there's further happening. So it's a whole new town being created, and the key question for us is, well, what do we do as Christians, and how do we make sure that there are churches and Christian projects throughout this area? As part of my networking, I've been invited to be part of the planning committee for the Development Corporation, so that's a really good opportunity to keep abreast of what's happening, but also a huge learning curve, because nobody teaches you anything about planning at Bible College, so I'm definitely having to learn a lot quickly. You see again an aerial photograph. That's about half the number of homes that are now built. So it's building out most of that corner at the bottom now. That's what it looked like 2 years ago, and that's what it looks like now. And so it's really seeing a whole new, you know, town just emerging out of building sites, and it's fascinating to watch. We've been taking lots of photographs along the way. 2 years ago, we set up a small home group with a view to being a core group to plant a new church. And we've been doing various different things. We've had Ben along as well. We've been using Mission Shaped Ministry training so that together we can learn in preparation for what we'll be doing next. And this is our first event. We have no building at the moment to use there. So we used this little pavilion in the park and we did a Christingle service at Christmas Eve. It was freezing. And we did it and we set up. A couple of people were there from my friends. Actually, they were friends. They weren't from the community. And then nobody else turned up. So I thought, what do we do? So, well, they've arrived. We'll do it anyway. So we had a little 20-minute Christingle service. And just as we were finishing and cracking open the mulled wine, 4 different households came and joined us. So we started again and did it all over again. We weren't going to miss the opportunity. So then it was much sunnier. We did an Easter egg hunt on Good Friday, and we had about 50 people gather for that. Just, again, a gentle gospel message in there with the aid of a hammer, 2 watches and a magic bag. And then most recently, it's again the Easter egg hunt. Oh, yes, before that, we did a community-sponsored run to raise some money for an interim community space. And this is where Ben's been our hero, because he organised all of this for us and got some people running who'd never run before, including me. We made it into the local paper, including, I think, Noah and Lua in there as well for their run. So, and that's the team that ran. And we raised, I was amazed, because I thought, please, Lord, let us raise at least 500, maybe 1,000. We raised about 3,400. So really excited the support we got. And then we did a community picnic. Again, unfortunately, the weather, it rained. There's Ben stoically standing out of the rain. But yes, it rained. But actually, as the rain eased, we had 5 families come and join us again. So it's small steps. But as you can see, we without a place to meet, it's quite difficult to do stuff. So yeah, here's Ben and my husband Barry on the right. So we're planning some other things in the summer, but the key thing we're looking for is to try and find a community space. So we've seen this bus that is for sale, and we're trying to raise the funds to buy it and convert it into a flexible community space and get permission, and this is the sticky bit really, if you do think to pray for us, permission to park it somewhere on site, because the road's very narrow and there's lots of builders and lots of things going on. So it's not that easy just to drive a bus on. So I'm at the moment negotiating with the developers to see if we can, builders, to see if we can find somewhere to meet. So that's kind of a quick overview. But Ben, do you want to say a little bit about how you've been involved or what you've been doing while you've been with us?
I don't know how to add to what Penny said particularly, but for me, you know, little snippets, because I sort of say, well, I'm trying to raise money for Run for the Bus, and this is what I'm doing, and this is where I'm disappearing to, etc. But over the last year, I've had the opportunity to see Cafe Church run in Bluewater, meet Penny's home group, where it's the sort of the catalyst group that's working out in the community, be involved in a couple of events, including the run. And it's just, I guess what I've seen through that is how to engage with like new community, and that's quite exciting, or people who have no idea about what church is, and working in very, very different environments like Cafe Church, where you don't really have a congregation as such, you just have people coming and going. And for me, as a kind of student, it's been really interesting to watch Penny and her team and see kind of how they deal with not having a fixed congregation all sitting in rows and listening or not listening or whatever, but actually people just coming and going, and you know, it's interesting to just sort of see different scenarios. And the same with being on a new, you know, new development. These houses, people have just moved in, the houses have just been built, and there's no community there. And Penny and her team and how they're working as Christians in that environment with a whole very, very multicultural area as well. So the people, when I was there, who were coming up, you know, they're from different areas. Some of them are from way, way over the other side of the world, come over here for work, set up families and homes and everything. And so how Penny and her team engage in that. So for me as a student, it's good to be able to not necessarily understand it all, but be able to soak in different aspects of it and try and understand how to work in different places in different situations. So yeah, it's been a real eye-opener for me, and she's given me lots of ideas. And so next week when we go out onto the green, I've got a few new ideas, which is good, as we're church outside.
Great. Ben's soon learning. I nick most of my good ideas from other people as well, so probably not original. Okay, we're going to watch a short film now, coming back to thinking about how we might speak to people about Jesus.
Oh, excuse me. Can you help me? I've just come from the park. Someone just came out and took off with my dog.
Right, yes, hold on a minute, madam. George, there's a lady here who says she's looking for eternal salvation in the Lord.
That a convert, son.
I didn't say that. I said someone came up and took off with my dog.
Right, scratch that, George. She's changed her mind. Don't you say, madam. Right, what's its name?
It's a she. She is called Jess. Jess.
Right, so that's J... E-S-U-S.
No, she's called Jess and you've just written Jesus.
So I have. Still, it's a lovely word, isn't it? Jesus. Jesus.
He died for all our sins, you know, madam.
Right, sorry, madam. So you say you were in the park when you lost little Jesse.
Right. Would that be the park... by the church, madam?
No, the one by the lake.
Yeah, but you can see the Church of Our Lady from there, though, can't you, madam?
Can you? Yeah. In that case, madam, would you have been able to hear the faithful singing from there? Something like this. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya, kumbaya. Would you have been able to hear anything like that, madam?
I suppose so.
Hmm. And if you had heard it, how loudly would they have been singing? Would it have been sort of... kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya? Or more sort of... oh, Lord, come by. Hmm?
All right. Well, look, if they had been singing from where I was, it would have been about as loud as, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya.
Kumbaya.
old, lads.
Could be dead.
Hallelujah.
Now, madam, this fellow that took your dog, can you give us a description, please?
Yes. He was quite tall and had sort of long, straggly hair. Oh, and a sort of a beard.
Well, George, that sounds a little bit like Jesus, doesn't it?
Look, are you two going to do anything to help me?
Yes.
And don't say, yes, we're going to pray.
Ah. No, it's all right. Now, give this man... Oh, my goodness. I've just been overwhelmed with the love of our Lord.
Lovely when that happens, isn't it?
Look, I don't wish to appear cynical, but somebody has stolen my dog, and I want to know if you're going to do anything about it.
Well, actually, madam,
there's something here. Apparently we arrested someone earlier today who answers the description you just gave us.
Oh, well, that's marvellous news.
Yeah, and even better news, we forgave him and let him go.
Video in how to do evangelism. But actually, it probably highlights how some of the things we take for granted in our church culture, though, can seem very strange if we don't explain it to people who don't yet know Jesus. So we need to keep that in mind. Anyway, it's back to you now to do some chatting around your tables. You should have a sheet that says table talk on it. And it's got some questions for you to have a little think about how you feel about evangelism. And maybe if there's some pointers, if there's any resources you think would be helpful, do jot those down and give those to Ben, because I think he'd appreciate knowing about those. And then there's some Bible stories. We're only going to have about 10 minutes at the most to do this. So you might only want to pick one or two of those stories, have a quick look, and just quickly have a think about how Jesus interacts with those people in those stories. So don't worry if you don't get time to do it all, but you have 10 minutes round your tables to chat as a group through some of those questions. Okay.
Thank you.
see that just by the fact that you really have the customer who you don't think, but obviously everybody's going to have a back in some way. It's going to happen. Because obviously you're Christians, but first, when someone has a real issue with you,
I think
I don't like to break up your conversations because there's never quite enough time, but if you could be drawing your conversations to a close. Oh, sorry. Ben says you can take it home if you didn't finish. And particularly when it comes to looking to the Bible stories, I realise that there wasn't enough time. It's always hard when we do something slightly different to gauge, and I do want to keep things moving. So I hope that was just helpful in kind of thinking a little bit about how we feel personally about evangelism. But had you had time to look at the different stories, it's really interesting, I think, to look at how Jesus responded to different people's questions and different people approaching him. And I think some of the key things I noticed is he treats people with respect. He responds to their questions. So Jesus wouldn't have been the one singing Kumbaya. He would have actually helped the lady find the dog. You know, he would have responded, but hopefully maybe taken it a little bit further than when he had chance. I think when we're being involved in evangelism, we need to be ourselves, and that's really, really important. And not to feel that every conversation has to get the whole four spiritual laws into it. Sometimes, and we've done this at Cafe Church, just a taster to help people, a hook. And sometimes I throw things out like, say, well, you know, you sound really concerned about that. Would you mind if I prayed for you? I don't need to do it now. I don't want to embarrass you, but I could. Or, you know, and just that. And then see how people respond. And some people say, oh, thank you. That's nice, but not here. Or people say, that would be really good. And then you might say, well, can I tell you about a prayer God answered? Or, you know, but just taking those little opportunities and little steps sometimes is helpful. And recognising the opportunities when they come. And we really need God's help and the Spirit to give us the boldness. Here's another quick DVD, Meet Anne. I found this really, really helpful, and hopefully you will too, in just seeing how God can use you in your particular context.
Meet Anne. Anne always thinks of herself as fairly ordinary. Just an ordinary single, middle-aged mum with an ordinary, tiring job. She navigates through the ordinary dramas of life, but at the end of the day, she just gets on with it. Nothing to shout about, nothing to write home about. At least that's what she feels. But in truth, Anne doesn't get too much time to think about all this because Anne's busy. She has lots of people making demands on her. She has children that need to be taken to school, to friends, to shops. Anne often feels like a taxi driver. But she's not a taxi driver, she's a teaching assistant in a challenging school. She supports the teacher, puts up displays, works with small groups of children, at times acting like a cross between a sheepdog and a NATO peacekeeping force. She enjoys the job, most days, but gets home really tired, just in time to put a taxi driver's hat on again. So to keep fit, she goes to her aerobics classes twice a week. To keep sane, to make sure she makes time for friends who can share the good times and the bad times with her. And at the end of the day, she winds down in front of the telly, whilst talking to her parents on the phone, feeling slightly guilty that she's not seen them for a while. That's Anne. One other thing about Anne. A few years ago, she became a Christian. And since then, she's lived with the question that won't go away. How can I be used by God? She's looked around church, but it's not so easy to know what she can offer. She can't play a musical instrument, doesn't want to get involved in children's work, hasn't enough experience to lead a small group, and would only be asked to sing if she were the last person left on earth. However, she's part of the creche rotum, because she has a nice smile, she's part of the welcome team. But to her, it all feels too little. She's fallen into the trap that loads of us fall into, of thinking that God only wants to use us in activities that are linked to church programmes. But the reality is that Anne has front lines all around her. Places where she spends much of her time, where God has already placed her, and where he's using her to make a difference. At work, at home, in cafes, in aerobic classes. She's surrounded by people that God loves and she could pray for, drop the in the odd word, continue to love in practical ways and really make a difference. This is her mission field. These are the strategic places where God has placed her. This is her front line. So here's the question. What would she feel about her life if she realised that in fact this ordinary life is no ordinary life at all? She'd still be the taxi driver for the kids on the back seat, but she'd see that her calling as a parent goes far beyond caring. She'd realise that she's the best teacher these kids will ever have about how to live the unnatural life as a Christian. Unnatural forgiveness, unnatural grace, unnatural mercy all need to be seen to be believed. But when seen, they'll never forget the power of this memory, used by God. At work, she might not feel hugely important. After all, she's not running the school. The truth is, she's far more significant than that. She's an agent of the kingdom whose king rules the universe. As she works diligently, she's already demonstrating the difference that being a Christian can make to life. And when some of the big questions of life come up, as they do from time to time, she's got real wisdom to share, used by God. And when she's with her friends, she talks about her life and faith with humour, honesty, and a welcome sense of normality. And she's praying that her friends would join her in her faith in Jesus, used by God. And whilst their aerobic classes are no place to be singing Shine, Jesus, Shine, whilst desperately fighting for breath, it continues to do her good. She feels just a little bit more alive at the end of each session and goes home with just a touch more resilience as she mediates between children wanting to watch different channels on the same TV. Used by God. And Anne wonders how God could use her. Anne, look around you. This is your front line, the front line that God wants to use you on, the one he's placed you in, the one that he's using to form you into the shape of Jesus. It's the front line that's unique to you. Because there's no one exactly like Anne, is there? Except Reg, who retired years ago. And Beth, who's at college having a great time, and Kwame in the bank, and Nicola, who's looking for a job, and Graham and Elaine, who's just had a baby, and Sharon, and Zoe, and Matt, and Danielle, and Susan, and Tony, and Paul, and you.
Isn't that great, DVD? Yeah, I really like that. It's so important to remember that we all have a place, we all have a calling on the front line. And I think when you start seeing life like that, it just it sort of starts changing everything, because the places you work, your social places, your communities are where God has put you. That's exciting. I just want to share a quick story with you. I'm reluctant to do this because it's a picture that God has given me, and I don't know, I want to be honest with pictures. I'm not sure about pictures, because I always sort of think, well, how are they from God, or are they just me making my, you know, creating it in my own mind? I'm not sure, but I want to share it with you. It could be something that I've created in my own mind, or it could be something that God's given me, or it could be either. But I had a retreat day a couple of months ago at Spurgeon's. And we spent the day in prayer and just reflecting, and people leading different sessions. And one of the things that sort of scares me, like I'm sure it scares you, is actually telling people about my faith. It's hard, it's difficult, and I don't think we should be shy to say, you know what, it's quite difficult to share our faith sometimes. We don't know how to start, or we're just worried about that boldness that we need. And I was just sort of reflecting, and I had this picture, and the picture was of this sort of grand house with quite sort of big grounds, and it wasn't like a, you know, over-the-top house. It was just a really lovely house, sort of up on this hill. And I had this picture of it was like me coming up to this house, and the doors opened, and God was inside. It was God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And that was like me becoming a Christian and being welcomed into this house. And just being in there was like the perfect place to be. It's just that presence of God with us. And so I knew that that was the place I wanted to be, in that house, and it was a good place to be, and everything was right there. And the picture kind of went that I sort of had a sleep there. I had a meal and had a sleep, and, you know, just felt peace and joy and everything else. And in the morning, woke up, and God said, right, it's time to leave the house and go and tell other people about this house and what we're doing here, and other people can come into this house. And at that moment, I had this sort of sense of sort of dread. Well, I don't really want to leave the house. And, you know, that I'm going to be leaving this place of kind of peace and everything else. And then God said, no, that doesn't work like that. And Jesus stood up from breakfast and he said, I'm coming with you. And together we're going out. And more than that, when I looked around, the Holy Spirit had gone. And the Holy Spirit was already out there. And no, he got up way before you. And he's gone ahead. He's already working out there. And you're going to go and join in with the work that he's already done. And that picture just sort of came to me as sort of a vision. But I just kind of sensed that's what God was saying to me through it. As I say, I'm not being super spiritual about it, whether it's a vision from God or whatever, whether I've created that myself. But I believe that that is what God is calling us all to. And I think there's a great relief for me in that vision, that it's not about us going out into the community by ourselves with our Bible and just being there by ourselves. It doesn't work like that. We're doing it with the Spirit of Jesus, and the Spirit is already out there working. And I think we must remember that it's God's mission he's involved in, and he's called us to be part of that. And that's really exciting. And we're not doing it by ourselves. So that's what I want to say to you this morning as an encouragement. And I think a few weeks ago when I spoke, I talked about us not having a plan B. Do you remember that? That there is no plan B. God has made his church the instrument of telling the world about himself. There is no plan B. He's given us, he's entrusted us with that, to work with him in it. And that's really exciting. And so as we're going to take communion in a moment, what I'd like us to do is just to remember, like Penny's been saying and like I've just shared with you, what God is asking us to do, but the fact that he is with us. And I really want you to just rest in that fact that he's constantly with us, and also the grace of God that enables us to join in with him. There's nothing that we've done. We're not good enough, and yet he still invites us, not just to know him, but also to be part of his mission. And so we're going to take communion together. Just reflect on this grace that God is showing you, and then we're going to finish by singing Amazing Grace with Joe and the band. We're going to do communion slightly differently. We're going to do it in around our tables. There's some bread in the middle of the table. And maybe if just a couple of people could give me a hand, we're going to give out some juice to each table. What I'd really like you to do is to take communion together around your table. So I would like you to offer the bread to somebody else and to say, this is God's body broken for you. And then hand somebody one of the cups rather than just taking your own and say, this is God's blood spilt for you, once you've taken the bread. If you don't feel comfortable taking it, that's absolutely fine. But I'd really like you to do this together as tables, if that's all right. Thanks, Terry.
we've been challenged and hopefully encouraged this morning. And then we've shared bread and wine round a table with friends. And that's what Jesus did when he first shared that meal. He shared it with friends round a table. So it may not be in the usual way, but I know that God has fed us and encouraged us, and I believe he wants to send us out. Just before we go, I'd like us to lead us in prayer. We know that this week has been a tragic week for those in Nice, but also for others around the world. So I'd just like to lead us in a prayer about that. And then I'm going to encourage us to use the prayer that's on the blue piece of paper. If you want to have a look at that. And if you want to join me, we'll say that prayer together. It's a prayer that was attributed to St. Francis Drake in his exploits as an adventurer. But first, let's remember some of the places where there is pain and grief this morning. Lord God, you are compassionate and merciful. Hear our prayers for the violence that engulfs our world. Let your peace be known in the midst of terror and chaos. Give comfort to all who have suffered loss in the multiple ongoing terror attacks around the globe, in particular in Nice. Bring healing to those who have been injured in body, in mind, and in spirit. Give skillful ability to those who minister to their physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Give wisdom to those who seek to overcome terror. Speak directly to those who commit acts of violence and terror, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, transform their hearts and minds. Give courage to your people that we may actively pursue peace, not simply as the absence of violence, but as the shalom of right relationships. Lord God, you are love itself. Help us to know your love in our lives. Help us to share your love in our relationships. Help us to demonstrate your love and light in our words and actions. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to join me, we'll say the prayer on the blue sheets together. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we sail too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the waters of life, having fallen in love with life, have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wilder seas, where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes, and to push into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. We ask this, Lord Jesus, in your name. And as we go, may we go into this week confident that we are your people. Your Holy Spirit is already at work, and we go with you, Lord Jesus, into whatever we face. Thank you, Lord. Amen.